We'll go ahead and get started. Thank you for coming this week. I really appreciate you coming and being with me in a seminar that I've never taught before. Hopefully it's been helpful in something, again, that maybe help you think about prayer a little differently, not to just say, no, you need to do better. That's what I did not want to do. However, there is a place for real practical things, and that's kind of where we started yesterday and kind of got into some of that. And we're going to continue that today. So yesterday we talked about the Lord's Prayer and how that really lays out a pattern for us of praying. Remember the Acts model of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Let me say this. And remember yesterday, I just want to make that clear that there needs to be a balanced portion of those. Those kind of relate and inform one another as you pray. And so maybe that will help you if you think about praying. And then we talked about the Psalms and how if you want to learn how to pray, you need to be reading the Psalms pretty much all the time. Because they're prayers, they're Psalms, the Psalms of Jesus. And the thing about the Psalms, just to review, is it gives us a really all the emotions. All the emotions in our life you see really represented there. And that's helpful for us because God creates us with certain personalities and dispositions. And some people are just naturally more optimistic and joyful. And other people really struggle with doubt and depression and all sorts of things. And the tendency is to think in our culture can inform that, and we just kind of hone in on one emotion or attitude as if it's the best. And what we see in the Psalms is like there's a place for all of those emotions. You get anger, complaint, sadness, depression, spiritual depression, lots of joy and thanksgiving, and so it's really holistic. And so I encourage you to get into the Psalms. And then we went through, again, another way of thinking about it. We got the Acts model, but then also a thing that's been helpful for me is adore, admit, aspire, and we actually went through that in a song. This is the book I forgot yesterday that I wanted to bring just to show you. It's on the book table. I highly recommend it. It was interesting. I was reading this morning, and this just kind of gives you an idea of what it's like. I'll read a little bit of it, of this, to kind of get it started. This is from Psalm 64, 1 through 6. It says, Hear me, my God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the plots of evildoers. I love this line. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent. They shoot suddenly without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, "Who will see it?" They plot injustice and say, "We have devised a perfect plan." Surely the human mind and heart are cunning. And then here again, you can see how short it is. I mean, just read Keller's comments on the Psalm. He said, David voices his complaint to God. Okay, so there is a place for you to say, God, I don't like this. Okay, I don't like what's happening to me. A lot of times we don't think about prayer that way. We think we've got to say it just the right way and come just with a certain attitude. But he says that David voices his complaint. Complaint departments have staff persons whose job it is to listen to you and who are empowered within the institution to do something for you. Here, I love this line. God is the ultimate complaint department. He invites us to pour out our frustrations to him so he can act for us. But this aspect of God's nature is not just a comforting to victims. It is a severe warning to those who do wrong. Don't think no one sees, as verse 5 says. Hagar herself was a victim of Sarah's malice. calls God the one who sees in Genesis 16. How would you live, speak, and act differently if you remembered that the Lord God was always observing you? I love that quote. Let me say that again. How would you live, speak, or act differently if you knew that God was always watching you? And then here's the prayer. And again, you can take that and do your aspire. You can do your own little thing. Aspire, admit, or adore, admit, aspire, and write it out and write your own prayer. Kind of let that be just an on-ramp, so to speak, to you, your own devotional life. But here's the prayer. Oh Lord, help me to remember that you hear and see everything. Let it infuse my daily life with comfort and accountability so that when I see people seeming to get away with terrible things, I remember God sees. And when I am tempted to lie and cut corners, I'll also remember God sees. Amen. So that's just in a little taste of what it's like. And you see, that didn't take a whole lot of time, but very good for the soul. So check that out on the book table. I'm not sure the price. Anybody bought it this week?
It was $300.
It's small loan. That's what it costs to go to summer conference. Okay, now what we're going to do, again, we're kind of continuing this practical aspect. I want you to see on your outline, we're on Roman numeral 6, the prayers in Scripture. I thought it'd be helpful for us just to look at a few prayers and see how people in the Bible pray and what we can kind of glean from that as we think about our own prayer life. And so what I want you to do, we're going to take one at a time. 2 Samuel 7, 18 through 29. I'm not going to ask you to read out loud. I just want you to read it there in your chair. We're going to kind of almost like a devotional. So read 2 Samuel. That's on your outline. 7, 18 through 29. And then we'll chat about it. And if you're not sure where 2 Samuel is, go to the table of contents of your Bible and find it from there. Make any notes too, or underline anything that sticks out to you.
Deacon. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about Daniel chapter 9, those few verses. What do you notice there? What sticks out to you? Same question. What did you notice, and how is it different than the way we pray? Oftentimes. Anybody? Came to back? Way back? Awesome. You see, yeah. See, a lot of confession. He knows who God is, or he knows who he is, but he also knows who God is. And you see this really it's this intense confession in who he is, but it also is a very wonderful combination of familiarity with God and love and grace, the grace of God. So you see those two going together. And again, think acts. Our confession often leads to thanksgiving for God's grace. You see, you kind of see that here, which I think is helpful. What else do you notice?
He knows why he can ask for mercy and forgiveness.
He knows why, yeah. He's familiar with God and his promises and who he is, his character, okay? So you think about it. Remember, we spent the first half of the seminar, we're going to talk about who God is, who Jesus is. God the Father. How the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Because until we get that, we're never going to go pray. Okay? So that's it. Daniel can say these things boldly. Okay, go ahead.
Along the same lines, but that he knows that his sin is in relation to God's holiness. So, he's not saying, I'm sorry I got caught. He's saying,
yes,
I confess that I am, so opposite you. And, the only reason to forgive me is your mercy. So,
amen. Okay. And also, while I'm taking this next one, look at verses.
I'm not. Where are they?
18 and 19 specifically, and we'll talk about that.
He owns his own sin.
Yeah, he owns it. That's good. There's no excuse making. Okay, in the back?
He's very desperate.
Desperate, okay. Again, remember that idea of prayer and weakness. Okay, what do you notice about 18 and 19?
He's asking about mercy, not because of what he's
okay, another way, who is he, good, who is he trying to justify?
God.
He's not saying, do this, show up for me. He's show up for you. All the nations around you, we're saying that you're it. And we need you to show up and work and move. Okay, isn't that interesting? So God-centered, okay? Very, very God-centered. Even as we see in that little phrase, he's basically saying, verse 19, for your own sake, oh my God. And say for my sake. Okay, let's look at the last one. Acts 4, so New Testament, Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. And again, so think about these prayers and help let the scriptures help shape your prayers. You might want to spend some more time with them and pray some of these things back to God. Okay, so Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. We'll do the same thing and then we'll move on. Thank you. What did you notice?
They just helped start the prayer by praying part of Psalm 2.
Okay, so we're praying Scripture. What else do we see? We see it's some adoration right at the beginning. Sovereign Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Okay, so some adoring God for who He is. What else do you notice?
They didn't pray for the situation to go away. They prayed for the situation.
Good. Yeah, they weren't necessarily praying for a relief of circumstances. Not that it's wrong to pray for that. But good point. What specific aspect of God did they mention in regards to prayer? Okay, good. What else?
Sovereignty.
Sovereignty. Isn't that interesting? Did God, the fact that He's sovereign, keep them from praying? They didn't say, well, God, you know, you got all this figured out, and so we don't even need to pray. No, they say, God, You are sovereign, You're in control. And that is actually the thing that wasn't a reason for them to avoid prayer. It actually drove them to prayer. Okay? We'll come back to that in just a second. Good. Okay, now let's look at Appendix 1 at the end of your handout. I'll talk to you again. This is just some practical things. You'll see this tending your inner life. Okay, this is something I have done in the past that's been really helpful. And I'll just talk you through it. You can, again, another way, and just giving you some options and things for you maybe that will help you. You can do this, but do this for your own life. This is mine. Here's a model for you. And you would need to sit and spend some time and figure this out. But basically, it's kind of a three-day daily office of prayer. Some of you might be familiar with that, the kind of morning, midday, and evening prayers. Okay? Now, don't get caught up in, some of these take me 3 minutes. Okay? This is not, don't think like hours. Okay? That would discourage you probably, like it would me. So the beginning prayer, and literally I'll have this in a notebook, and I'll just read this prayer. Lord, I offer myself, and You have to come up with something. But this prayer is specific to my heart, idols, and dispositions, things I struggle with. Okay, so just, and we'll talk about how you get to that. But this is like when your feet hit the floor in the morning. This is what it would begin in prayer. I offer myself to You to do with me and make of me what You will. Relieve me of the burden of myself. Forgive my sins, the idols of control, approval, comfort, and the boastful pride of life. Remove away my character defects, that Your character would be made more evident in my life. Remind, so you get this idea of relieve, remove, remind. Remind me that it's none of my business what others think of me, and that my calling is to know how much You love me and to love others with the overflow of that love. May I do Your will today and always. Amen. So something like that at the beginning. And then morning prayer, and I told you what I'm doing now, is I'll do just what I did with you. I'll read through that. Sometimes if I have time, I'll do that admit, aspire. And write out a prayer of my own. And then midday prayer is more, for me, is more reflection. I try at some point throughout the day to think through my idols of control and comfort and approval and pride and how those have kind of worked themselves out that day. Like, am I bowing down to those, or am I bowing down to Jesus so far during my day? And so you see that prepare, it's kind of mourning, repair, which would be not having a good day. What would it look like for me to redeem the rest of my day? Okay, that's kind of the midday. The heart dispositions, how do you find out what those are? Another way to say that, your heart idols. I give you four bullet points there to think through. And this would be worth you taking some time even today. Ask God and expect Him to answer. Ask Him to show you. The second thing is listen for me. If you're married, it's your spouse, but your friends or your interns. This was for campus ministers originally. Three, what do you excuse away as it's just the way that I am? Or what do you work hard to disguise or excuse about yourself in general? Listen to your excuses, and a lot of times that will show you kind of your heart idols. The other thing is this has been big for me in my life, pay attention to the moments of emotional distress or dissonance. And what I mean by that, try to not let that run by. Like, when do you get anxious? When do you get most stressed out? When you're sad, why are you sad? What's kind of driving some of that? You know what I'm saying? So when you feel like some angst internally, you need to think more deeply about that, because chances are that's God putting His finger on something deeper inside your heart and in your life. And then, like I said, at the end, normally what I try to do with my wife at the end, right before we go to bed at the same time. I know this doesn't work for everybody, but we try to read through the same psalm that I read to you this morning. We'll read again tonight, but I'll read it with her, just to kind of drive it more into my heart. And then we'll pray that prayer, but also we'll pray no more than like 2 minutes, because if we start getting into 15-minute prayers and my head hits the pillow, we will never do it again, because I want to go to sleep. So, yeah, that's very selfish, I know. So we pray pretty quickly, and normally it's something for our kids or about my day or about something that's happening. So that's kind of, but it's real short at the end. And so I don't know that. You don't have to do that. I'm just giving you something else to take with you. The other thing is, you see here a pattern for daily prayer by Tim Keller. And that's, I've given you the page number, I think, for that. It comes straight out of the prayer book. I just made a copy for you. And basically what he's given you, a 25-minute option, but he's also given you a starter plan, if you see on the next page, for a 15-minute devotional. This is basically how to have a quiet time. How to have a devotional. Remember, you can't separate prayer from the Bible and from your devotional. That all kind of goes together. And that's the highlight of the prayer book by Keller, in my opinion. He ties Scripture and prayer and how everything flows out of Scripture. So he walks you through. You've got your passage of Scripture, the questions to ask, the things to reflect on, all of that right here. So if you want to learn more about having a personal time with God, communion with God, there's another really practical, good option. I recommend, if you've been struggling, the 15-minute is very simple and easy to kind of, a little bit more manageable. And I think it'll lead to less frustration at the beginning. You can grow into the 25-minute option here. Okay. Let's look, lastly, at some concluding thoughts. And I think I have one more. Comment questions. I've actually included that in your appendix 2. Take time to read that. We won't do that now, but that way you can kind of sit with it and, you know, read it and think about it. Talk to your campus minister about it. But there's some of those theological questions, you know, that sometimes come up when you start thinking about prayer. I gave you the four or five most common ones, and you can mull over that. But you see, I did answer that, God sovereign, why pray? Give you a quick answer there, but the appendix 2 works that out in a lot more detail. The second bullet point, this as far as this is, this last is kind of a catch-all. So, God commands us to pray, and I think that's really big. So, there's really no option to say, well, God's sovereign, He's got it figured out, so I don't need to pray. And the reason why is God tells us that we need to pray. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. And so, it's assumed in the life of a Christian. We find, secondly, encouragement when we pray. And think about this. Prayer, in a sense, puts God back in the picture. At least that's what it does big time in my life. You get out into the world, you're getting beat down all around you, going through all sorts of things that are pressing in on you. And prayer is a place for you to come. You see that in the prayers that we read in Scripture, and to basically recalibrate, reorient your heart, and be reminded, no, God is in control of the world. He loves me. He's my Father. He draws near to me as I draw near to Him. And so you're reminded as you, you know, again, are experiencing all sorts of things that God is who He says He is, and you're reminded of what is true. And so it's very encouraging. There's a lot of encouragement in prayer. And a reference there is Psalm 73. You ought to go read today Psalm 73 and see how the psalmist was really struggling, and he comes in into the presence of God, and it totally changes his outlook and his heart, and it leads to a lot of encouragement. Also, John Calvin has another great quote and says that God has ordained prayer as a timely reminder of the gospel, so that through it, God may calm our hearts, deal with our cares, and cast out our fears, and draw us gently to Himself. So I love that idea of a timely reminder of the gospel. And that's why we need to do it every day. Because we forget, and we need to go before God. And so prayer is encouraging. Also, second, the other thing I have here, bullet point, the next one is be authentic. And I think that's probably where I struggled early on in my prayer life, and do still to some degree. But if we've learned anything, what I want you to know is that God is a gracious Father who wants to be with you. And so, don't pretend. Be real. Be honest. You don't have to say the right thing and worry about saying the right thing. Just start talking to God just like you would in any other relationship. And remember that God is wanting to listen to you, and that He helps you in your weakness. And so if you don't know what to pray and don't know how to pray, say, God, come help me in my weakness. You say that You intercede for me. I don't know what to pray. Teach me to pray. And so here's what one of the things is, hopefully you've learned this week that I've tried to communicate, is I want to free you up. Free you up to quit worrying about doing it right and just go enjoy God. Okay? Quit worrying about doing it right. Go enjoy God. Come to Him. I had a conversation with a student this week that was saying, I'm really angry at God. You need to tell God that. He can handle it. It can. And a lot of times we don't think we can talk to God that way. Read the Psalms. They get really honest about where they are. That leads to intimacy. And when you can wrestle with God in prayer like that and being honest and authentic, your prayer life will take off. And really, that's the key to going deeper. The key is not to come and trying to pretend like you're in a better place than you really are. God knows where you are. And so just tell Him, whether that's frustrated, lonely, sad, all of that. But at the very same time, remember who God is and claim His promises. Wrestle with Him, like we see in the prayers we read earlier this morning. Second thing, or whatever, just going through the bullet points. I'm not used to the bullet points anymore. I've had A's, D's, Roman numerals, and all sorts of things. Try journaling your prayers and try speaking out loud. That has also been very helpful for me, praying out loud. I know that might sound weird, but go on prayer walks and just talk. Everybody talks to themselves anyway. You're just doing it verbally. So I think that will help you too. And what it's helped me do, I pray in my car a lot and out loud. That will help you focus instead of your mind kind of wandering off. And then a little quote here. Did you know that we can find almost no examples of silent prayers before the 1800s in church history? A lot of them were written and spoken. Speaking out loud helps you to remember that you're not just thinking things in your head, but you are communicating with a real person, God. Okay? So try that. Also try writing out your prayers a lot of times, and we've tried to do that yesterday. Use scripture. Hopefully that's been communicated, but use a good hymnal. If you like hymns, get a hymn. Pray through the hymn. Let that get your heart warm and send you off thinking about some aspect of God. So get a hymnal. Get a prayer book. I highly recommend The Valley of Vision. I think that was a book blurb at some point this week. And I would say go ahead and pay the extra money and get the leather-bound copy because that's something you will have for the rest of your life. It's worth it. And so that also, a lot of times, I'll just read one of those prayers. And there's prayers on all different topics and categories in that book. It's a prayer book. So that would also be very helpful. Try using note cards or a note app on your phone. There's a note card app on you can get, or you can just use the notes on your smartphone section for prayer requests. And this has been really helpful for me over the last 5 years. And just here's a couple of things, again, maybe this is helpful, maybe it's not, but a couple of things that I've done that have been helpful in this regard. And I got this, by the way, one of my top five books all time is A Praying Life by Paul Miller. So if you want to, that's the only book I've ever read on prayer that's made me want to pray. Because it really gets at your heart. And you'll see, has anybody read A Praying Life? Okay, good. You know what I'm talking about. So he talks about note cards, and that's been very helpful for me. So let's, for example, you can do this with your friends, family. I got a family note card. I also got a note card for my interns. I got a note card for my leaders. They give me a note card, like at the beginning, with my core group. I'll say, give me two or three things that I can pray for you this semester. And I'll pray for like two a day or something like that. And so they end up getting prayed for a couple of times throughout the semester. And they had to hand me a note card. And what I do is I put those oftentimes, put them in a rubber band or whatever, and put them in my seat next to me. And I'll just pick up those cards on my drive to campus. Okay, so what I want you to see is there's some freedom there. It's not like this long, drawn-out thing that I'm in the woods somewhere. Okay, I'm at a stoplight. I'll pick up a card, look at it, and I'll just start talking. And then I'll stop for a minute, listen to some music or whatever. It's an ongoing, see what I'm saying? This is not all, it's free. I'm talking to God a lot, and so you'll just go, and then I'll go to another stop sign, and I'll pick up another car. So maybe it's helpful, maybe it's not. I got that from Praying Life, and it's been helpful for me in my prayer life. So get cards, get friends, put a card at the request. The other thing I'll say about that, too, here's another thing, is use your smartphone, and you can use it in very good and helpful ways. So let's say you're sitting with someone, one of your friends, and they say, you know, my mom, I just found out she's got cancer, and she's going in for treatment, and the doctor's appointments this week. I'd really appreciate you praying. Okay? They got your notes. Write that down. So that we actually remember, you know, how much we said, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. We're like, what? Anyway, so we don't do that. So do that, but then also set a reminder in your phone. When did you say that appointment was? Oh, Thursday, 10 o'clock. Put pray for whoever, Jennifer's mom, at this time. And then what if you actually send a text and say, hey, I just want you to know I prayed for your mom this morning. How much would that mean to her? I'm just, again, real practical. If it's not helpful, forget it. Okay, next thing. Next bullet point. Try praying through a passage of Scripture with your friends, your small group. Do the adore, admit, ask, or aspire. And y'all can just do that like we did in here. What can we adore God? You see what I'm saying? Do it in a group. And then spend the rest of your time actually working that out in prayer. Next, try praising God by meditating on the many names God uses. And you can normally find those in a study Bible, or if you got online and do a search on the names of God. And, you know, God will provide, Jehovah Jireh, all these different names. Emmanuel, God with us. And let that help spark your adoration. Okay? Lots of things like that can be useful for you. Try praying biblical prayers. And I don't know if I put a few. Did I put the prayers actually list them?
Mm-hmm.
I did. Did it say Ephesians 3? Okay, good. So there's a few, plus the ones we read this morning. Try to make notes on the way they're praying, and so that can inform the way you pray. And then the last one I gave you, those are some great resources on prayer. Many of those that I have talked about with you. And so another way to grow in your prayer life is to read good resources on prayers. Okay? Anybody here got ideas or things that you have done that have been very helpful? Again, everybody's different. We're individuals. And so what works for me might not work for you. And so this is another key thing. Don't try to just make it work for you. There's lots of freedom. So adjust anything I've said to say, that's not really me, or I would never do that. Well, come up with something else and let that kind of get you going, something that would be helpful for you. Could be, like I said, a prayer walk, or I want to run. I want to pray when I run, or walk with a friend, or whatever. Anybody have anything else they want to share with the group on things that have been helpful for you over the years?
I always write on my mirror with dry erase markers.
Good. Write on your mirror with dry erase markers. Good. Well, others. Okay.
Sometimes you wake up at like 4 a.m. and can't get back to sleep. You just pray until you
do. Very good. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're a light sleeper, or you just don't sleep well, I don't. Instead of just tossing and turning, fill your mind, like, just use it as an opportunity to pray. Very, very helpful. Others? Anybody else got anything they've done before that's been helpful? Okay.
When you were talking about, like, making requests for people, maybe when they ask you, just go ahead and say, can I pray for you now?
Good.
I mean, and then obviously try to do it later as well, but I think that's really helpful for building a relationship as well as just like remembering to pray.
Yeah, very, very good. Always, and if, you know, you got to get the feel of the room and fill out that, but you can offer to pray for them right then. And if you don't know the person that well, I always ask permission. But you don't know, if you don't know where they are or whatever, I think that's a caring, loving thing to do. Say, hey, would you mind if I pray for you? You can pray right there on the spot. Those things are very, very encouraging. But I tell you, it's amazing when you share something with someone in my own life, and either they pray for you on the spot, but they remember later, hey, last time you were talking about your mom, how's that going? I mean, seriously, people feel very loved and cared for. And so think of ways that we can enter in and engage with people in prayer so that they feel loved and cared for along the way, and so that we can follow up with them. Very good. Any others? Anybody want to share? Okay, let me pray, and we'll be done. And thank you all for a great week and for being attentive and being here. Let's pray. Father, you are holy, as we learned last night in large group. You are good. You are high above the heavens. Your ways are beyond tracing out, you tell us in the Bible. But yet, at the very same time, you're near, and you have come near to us through the person of Jesus. And we thank you that you are a loving Father that cares deeply for us, that knows the hairs on our head, that you know, you tell us in Psalm 139, you know when we rise and when we sit. You know when we lay our heads down to sleep. You know us intimately, and we're very thankful for that. And Lord, I pray for us in this room as we leave this place that you would give us a heart that longs to know you better through your word. Lord, I pray that you would be at work in us, stirring us up to pray, stirring us up through your Spirit to get to know you better. I pray that we would, as we move near to you and get to know your goodness and grace, that we would find ourselves praying all the time, throughout the day, at different times, thanking you and praising you for who you are. Lord, we are weak people, we're needy people, and if we're ever going to be men and women of prayer, we need you. So we ask that you would come and help us through your Spirit. Make us prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. God, good final day at the beach.